I am W2P Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Rita Tian. I'm the audio describer for local theaters.
And it's called Washington Ear?
That's right. That's the organization I work with.
And it's a really cool idea, I think. I think it's going to make a great radio piece because we both do theater of the mind here. Explain exactly what you do.
So I describe what's going on stage, any action that the performers are doing, any expressions. I cannot speak when the performers are speaking, so I have to be able to say what I've got to say between anybody talking on stage.
And this is if any, you know, if there's a blind theater goer, they can sit. And how does it work? Is there a headset?
They wear a headset. It's transmitted via radio. And for most theaters, that's how they hear it. And that's how. So the people surrounding them don't hear it being described.
So where are you actually in the theater as this is happening? Are you backstage or in the crowd?
For most theaters, there's a booth frequently with the sound or lighting folks, but there are a couple theaters where, like in Arena's Fish Handler Theater, I'm in the back row of the back of the balcony, and then I wear a mask over my face so that I speak into the mask so that the people in front of or next to me don't hear me. So steno mask. If you've ever seen a court stenographer, the old-fashioned steno masks, that's what we use.
That's awesome. And so Washington Ear services all the theaters in town that have the proper technology.
That's
so
right.
Which theaters do you guys actually do it for?
So I describe for Arena, Shakespeare, not the Kennedy Center, Arena, Shakespeare, National, Ford's, Roundhouse. Other folks do Olney. And I think McLean Community Theater. So there's a bunch of theaters.
What technology does that actually require? Because you said some theaters like Keegan don't have that.
Yeah, they just don't have the wireless equipment set up. It's not anything complicated at all. In fact, if they can produce something that'll broadcast the correct signal, we have portable equipment that we can bring in. So we do that at Studio Theater, and so it's possible to do it.
So is it legally required for theaters to require,
No, I don't think so. Okay. No, it's...
Because what's that law I'm trying to think of?
The Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah. And wasn't that signed by George Bush?
Yeah, it was.
The funeral's going on right now. So that's right. Okay. But it's not actually required.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And in fact, on Broadway, a lot of places have pre-recorded audio description, which I can't even imagine how that could work because what I do is live.
How would they even sync it up?
That's the issue. Yeah. That's another story. I don't know.
Let's say there's someone that's blind listening to this right now, or maybe someone in their family that loves to go to the theater. How do they actually find out? Is it on, do you list it on the website? Is there one performance per run, or how does that work?
Typically, each theater will list the dates on their website. Usually, all the accessibility options are frequently in the same place on a website. Our service is called audio description as opposed to sign language interpretation, which is for the deaf. And so depending on the theater, it's one or two performances per run. Ford Theater has two performances, Arena and National, and Shakespeare typically just have one. Although presumably others might be able to be arranged. But it is done by volunteers. And so that's the way it's worked out, is once per run. But they can find out in advance when it's scheduled.
And so then you just hand them a headset on
Correct.
The way in the door?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they usually get it from somebody on staff.
Right.
I'm not usually there to hand it out, but somebody on staff is.
Gotcha. Now, in addition to your voice describing everything, which I want to get more into in a second because it's freaking fascinating, but are they actually hearing the music of, like, let's say it's a musical number, like anything goes. They're actually hearing the music and the tap dancing on the floor and all that?
Yeah. And that's one thing that's... We can get into this later about the difference between a play and a musical,
sure.
but for a musical, I wouldn't talk for the first time. Usually a musical has the song starts and then they repeat, like the chorus.
Right.
And so when the song is starting and the lyrics are fresh, I wouldn't be talking then. But if they start repeating the whole thing again, which frequently they do in a song, then I would step in and describe what they're doing. And then frequently in musicals, there's just music, no singing at all, and then I have to describe the dancing, which takes some, you got to really be on your toes for that.
So you're kind of picking your points because you're putting yourself in their shoes. They can hear the music.
Right,
they can
exactly.
hear the tapping.
Right.
They can hear the dialogue.
Right.
So you're kind of waiting for those little breaks in between
right. exactly.
To
jump
describe.
In and say, and with dancing in particular, I don't have an advanced vocabulary. The most jargon I would say would be like pirouette. In fact, I would just probably say spin. And so I would never assume that a blind person would know the jargon anyhow.
It's very layman's terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay.
So it's spinning or popping or sashaying or whatever it is. And I might say it's a waltz step, you know, just depending how fast the music is going.
So are you saying, and now he's tapping, or do you just
No, they can hear the tapping,
yeah.
But what they're doing, you know, how many, usually it's a couple of leads and then the chorus, and they're usually all doing something different. And
right.
so I would probably say if they're all spinning or shuffling or pointing or whatever, that's what you'd have to right. describe.
And then in terms of like, so that's for a musical like Anything Goes with a lot
yeah.
of big production numbers and
right.
dancing and tapping. For a play, like let's say Arena's also doing Indecent, which
mm-hmm.
is just a play
right.
rather than a musical.
Right.
Is that more describing screen directions or not screen, stage directions? Like are you saying this character is now moving to the right of the stage? Or, you know, how detailed do you get into that?
I get detailed, but I don't cover the blocking too much. What's important is anything that anybody's trying to hide anything or just anything that the blind person would need to know has just happened in order to make sense. And also what they want to know is who's still on stage, who's left. Because sometimes if somebody
right.
leaves, you don't necessarily hear it or notice it. But they want to know who's still on stage. And also, I frequently will – you'd be surprised how many times characters have their backs to each other on stage. And that's significant.
It can be symbolic.
Yes,
yeah, I mean,
exactly. I always say that.
Do you go into facial expressions
yes,
and body language?
Yes. And I don't say – the person is mad. When I was taught years ago that we don't say what we think the emotion is, we describe what they're doing. So I would say the jaw is clenched, the brow is furrowed, you know, he's making a fist or whatever, that kind of thing. The problem with that, it's kind of hard because that's a lot of description for one word, mad, but that's how we do it. And so I get in what I can and
you describe the details of what the actor
yeah,
is performing and
yeah.
their acting choices rather than inferring
right,
and blind
exactly.
things off.
Right, exactly.
I guess you want to let the listener
right, exactly.
figure that out on their
right.
own or interpret what they
right.
might think that is.
Right.
That's fascinating. So you
yeah.
must be working really, your brain's got to
yeah.
go super fast on
yeah.
that.
Because usually
wild.
You have to get in quick because somebody else is going to be saying something, so you have to be right. And you can't... It's hard to be succinct because if I'm just talking to you,
right.
it's okay if I have a couple extraneous words, but when I'm trying to describe something fast, not too fast so they can't understand it, but fast enough to get in between dialogue,
right.
then you have to like use a lot of verbs.
Now, because of that, we're talking about you having to like pick your spots, you know, in
yeah.
between dialogue. Do you try to go see the show once before?
Every time, we always see a show twice. And so I'm before it's described. So I see it twice each night. Each time I take notes in a notebook. And
you know where your openings are going to be.
Yeah, exactly. I take note of the things that I need to remember to describe.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of the visuals, right? You know, the whole thing is the sets and the costumes.
Yeah.
Are you setting the scene in terms of that?
There's somebody else. There's two people for every production. There's the describer who shows up and does it live. And then there's somebody who writes what's called program notes, which are pre-recorded, and they describe the sets and the costumes. So the patron can listen before the show or at intermission. So they describe the sets and the costumes in a lot of detail, and plus background information on the play or musical and information about the creative team and the cast. So it's usually about 10 minutes worth of information.
Is that pre-recorded stuff they listen to before it starts,
yes.
or that's woven
before,
into your...
Before it starts and at intermission,
okay.
we have two separate things.
Is there such thing as like a playbill in Braille or anything like
they
that?
Theaters do have that. Arena does. I think most theaters do. I think that might be required. I'm not positive.
So you arrive at the show, and while you're perhaps flipping through the, you know, the Braille playbill, you can listen
to the pre-recorded.
Okay. So that sort of sets the scene, and then once the show starts, then it's your job to describe what's happening.
Right.
That makes sense. So is the idea then is to paint the visual picture of it in their mind, and then
Right. And because sets frequently change between Act One and Two, that's why they can listen at an intermission to hear what the set change might be and the costume changes for Act Two.
Wow. Now, how long have you been at this? How do you, you said it's volunteer, but when did you decide to get involved?
This is my 26th year. So,
with Washington Ear or just
I've only done it with Washington Ear. Yeah.
How do you find out about it? Is there a personal story? Do you know someone that's, you know,
I just heard about it actually on a radio story on NPR 26 years ago, and it sounded like fun. And so I contacted the organization and asked when their next training was. And at the time, it was the two founders of the service who were providing the training, the Cody and Margaret Fansteel.
Are they a nonprofit or are they?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so everybody auditions, and then you go through a training, and then they launch you. And so my first show was Christmas Carol at Ford's, which was good, because it's fairly easy.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
So was it tricky that first time?
Oh, yeah, you're scared to death. Yeah, it's...
Give me an example of what you might say. Ebenezer Scrooge is doing, you know, is joyous, jumping on the bed.
You'd have to describe the ghosts. You have to describe what they're doing. I remember one of them had chains wrapped around the whole body.
Jacob Marley, probably.
Yeah. And then he flings the chains off. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But so you have to describe all of that. Anything that the sighted person would be missing. Like, I mean, the blind
Tiny
person.
Tim's crutch is leaning against the wall.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So was it, take me into like how tricky it was at first time versus now. You're probably pretty good at it now.
Oddly enough, it doesn't really get easier. I mean, I've learned a lot over the years, but because every show is different and because it's live, you really have to be on your toes every single time. Yeah. And so I have learned things over the years, which has helped. But the first time, it's just very scary because in the beginning, you do step on actors' lines. There's no way to avoid it. The good thing about describing a show twice is the second time it's always better because you've done it once. Right. And so like at Ford's Theater, you have that advantage because they have two descriptions.
Right. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Trying to think, what else? Have you gotten any good feedback? Has anyone come
every,
up and said, hey, thank you?
After every show, I say, I'll be in the lobby in 10 minutes if you want to stop by and say hello, give me any feedback. And I have gotten feedback. And one person said was that she really appreciated, it was Ah Wilderness at Arena Stage. And there was a very quiet moment where the two teenagers who were falling in love, they were just getting ready to share a kiss, and the whole house was dead silent because it had been leading up to this moment. And then something happened, and the whole audience laughed. And there was no indication to the blind person what had happened. And so I described what had happened. And then afterwards in the lobby, she said that she really appreciated that because she wouldn't have known.
Right.
And that's always, I mean, I know it's a good service just for that reason, to explain what's happening so you know what's happening so it makes sense to you. And that's why I think it's a valuable service.
It's awesome. In talking to these folks that are giving you the feedback, do any of them describe, like, do you have a sense of how they got into theater in the first place? You know, let's say you're born blind. How do you fall in love with going to shows in the first place? You know, do you have any sense of that, how that's even sparked?
I think it's such a
visual medium in so many ways. That's fascinating to me.
I think they just they consume any kind of artwork just like anything else, and so it helps to have a description. In the past, they would have just gone and probably missed a lot, or if you don't have something described to you, so they like the arts as much as anybody else.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of how long such audio descriptions have been going on? Do you know?
Well, the Washington Ear, I think, originated them, and so I think it's probably close to 35 years, maybe a little longer.
So they were the very first
in the country. Yeah, I think they are. And they've trained.
Makes sense here in Washington, yeah.
Yeah, they've trained other places to do it as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many people are volunteering? Like, there's
for audio describers, I think there's like 18 or 19 of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you said there's one of you per show, two per show.
One person shows, right. Yeah, one person shows up in the theater and the other person has written the notes that describe the sets and costumes.
Wow. And how do they decide who goes to which show?
You can ask. We get a season in advance, the upcoming shows, and we pick the ones that we want and that kind of thing.
That's fascinating to me. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you want to add? I mean, I have more than enough stuff, so.
I think somebody asked me what the hardest one to describe was, and I believe it or not, I had a big turnout for Marcel Marceau, the mime, which didn't really make any sense to me. Why? Because it was strictly me talking. I never did really figure that out. But
describing a mime. So you're really busy during that one. And you're not stepping on any lines, though, so that's good. Right now, he's trapped behind a glass wall. Right. His palms are showing.
Yeah. Go figure.
Funny. Was there one that was easiest? I don't want to say easy, but that lent itself
well,
most
easy
to
ones are the talky ones, and so George Bernard Shaw or the ones where it's just, sitting around a dining room table. There's always something that can be described, but if they're doing a lot of talking, then they're, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I think it's going to be a fascinating piece.
Okay,
thank you so much for coming
in. All right,
in.
Thanks,
and,
Jason.
I think a month or two ago we did... The Arlington Players did, they had a deaf actor playing Quasimodo, and they had a,
sign language interpreter.
Yeah. So this is a cool, to see the flip side of it, to have the audio description.
Yeah.
So I just think it's great. So keep up the great work,
right,
and thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Jason.